Looks like Chrysler will soon give back some of the money to the government.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Chrysler today will reportedly announce it's gotten enough private financing to pay back Uncle Sam. The automaker took billions of dollars in loans from the U.S. and Canadian governments at the height of the financial crisis. Those loans, coupled with investments from Italian carmaker Fiat, helped Chrysler out of bankruptcy. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports the loan payback could set the stage for Fiat to take a bigger role in the company.
Executives from Chrysler and Fiat have been on a dog and pony show, maybe we should call it a Jeep and Alfa Romeo show, for investors nationwide, hyping the company's new car designs and optimistic business plans. It seems to have paid off. Chrysler's reportedly raised $7.5 billion in new loans and bonds to retire its remaining debts to the U.S. and Canadian treasuries. Those loans had interest rates as high as 20%. Paying them off is a lift to the bottom line. It's also good PR, says Coventry University business professor David Bailey.
A government-owned company may not have gone down particularly well amongst some in the U.S. market, and they want to get out from under government control and reestablish themselves as a private company.
By year's end, Fiat will own a majority stake in Chrysler. They'll work on revamping Chrysler's truck-heavy product line, bringing in more European technology, and introducing more small, fuel-efficient vehicles. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Well, the Japanese government reported today its economy shrank by an annual rate of 3.7% in the first 3 months of the year. It's officially now in recession. And while aftermath of the recent earthquake and tsunami makes up less than a month of the quarter, the natural disasters are playing a huge role in the contraction. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us now from Tokyo with the latest. Hi, Roland.
Hi, Steve.
Obviously, the earthquake wreaked a lot of havoc on the country, but it's been in recession three times now in the past decade. How was the economy doing without the disaster?
Well, it was actually clawing back. It was getting better. But the earthquake and the tsunami destroyed factories. It snapped supply chains. It crippled production in the country. It made consumers, even in places that weren't affected, cut back because they were so shocked by the catastrophe. And in fact, consumer spending fell in March at its steepest rate on record. So it's all added up to Japan having two quarters of declining economy and going back into recession.
Roland, does the Japanese government have the wherewithal to pull itself out of recession? I mean, it's already poured so much money into the economy anyway, right?
Well, certainly it's going to cost a lot to rebuild in the Northeast. That's money that has to be spent. As you say, Japan does already have a massive public debt, but that spending's going to have to happen. That should help the economy to recover towards the end of the year. The problem is going to be over the next few months, because the disaster at the Fukushima nuclear plant means there's likely to be electricity shortages over the summer, and that, of course, could hamper production too.
All right, the BBC's Roland Burke joining us from Tokyo. Roland, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher at the moment, but Japanese shares lost a little. The government reports the number of people filing for first-time jobless benefits fell last week by 29,000. Dominique Strauss-Kahn resigned as head of the International Monetary Fund, saying he'll fight attempted rape charges. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 80 points to close at 12,560.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Natural gas drillers in Pennsylvania's Marcellus Shale region had a deadline to meet today. At the request of state regulators, drillers agreed to find safer ways to dispose of their tainted wastewater. That's something they'd resisted for a long time. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Drilling for natural gas creates a lot of wastewater, and it's full of bromides, salts, in other words. In western Pennsylvania, a lot of the wastewater went to sewage treatment plants that couldn't purify the stuff. Then those plants discharged it into rivers. rivers used for drinking water.
The bromides were reacting with the chlorine in the water treatment process to form a new substance that is carcinogenic.
Environmental advocate Jan Jarrett says for years industry insisted the discharges were safe, but this discovery helped change their tune. Matt Pizzarella is with Range Resources, one of the biggest drillers in the Marcellus Shale. His company lobbied other drillers to stop the practice.
If people don't trust this industry to do the right things, then a number of things will happen. Number one, the regulations will become more strict.
Number two, says Pizzarella, drillers won't get access to gas on private property.
We can only drill for natural gas wells if people choose to enter into agreements with us to allow us to develop their natural gas.
Pizzarella says other industries like coal are also to blame for high bromide levels in Pennsylvania rivers, but intensifying media scrutiny means gas drillers can't afford to play defense all the time. Jan Jarrett says the drillers agreed voluntarily to either recycle their wastewater or send it to deep disposal wells. So Jarrett's motto? Trust but verify.
We are going to be independently pulling records and checking to see whether or not that indeed has happened.
Last week, the Environmental Protection Agency went one step further. It wants to know how and where the biggest drillers will dispose of their wastewater from now on. But for drillers, voluntary is one thing, federal directives are another. An industry spokeswoman said the EPA was overstepping its authority. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, much has been made over the past few years about President Obama's place of birth. Well, now the Obama re-election campaign is firing back with a gift for donors of $25 or more. It's a T-shirt featuring a picture of the president and the words "Made in the USA" in bold print. On the back, the long-form Hawaiian birth certificate the White House released a few weeks ago. We've got a picture of the shirt at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The government learns a lot from natural disasters. It sets up offices to monitor hurricanes and earthquakes, for instance. So what they learned from our most recent financial disaster?
Here's the hazardous forecast for the mortgage market. For tomorrow, there is a slight risk of increased foreclosures and a possible housing bubble.
I'm Kai Rizdal, monitoring our financial health. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.